in a neighborhood. It's a subdivision, and it's kind of behind a major road in town, and there's like a shopping center that has a grocery store and a bunch of restaurants in it. But the other thing we get in a nice little subdivision is we have a lot of dogs and cats. And like, I have a glass front door that I open up, and every now and then I look out there, and there's a cat just staring in at us, which is a little creepy.
They're always watching. You don't know what they're thinking. Are they planning something? They don't communicate exactly. Are they being friendly?
There's something going on.
Or are they just thinking about something completely different, and you just happen to be in the way?
Or they're just sort of like, the assholes that live here.
That's exactly. The people before used to feed me all the time. I hate these pricks. Yes.
But we always get different dogs in the neighborhood. We have a dog. You've met our dog. She's old. She's like about 186 in human years. But this new couple moved in, and they got a three-legged dog.
Oh, tripod.
Yeah. And I've never met him because we always see him when we drive around. But they've walked him around now and then. Now, I call him Champion. And that's a reference to, did you ever watch Parks and Rec?
I have a little bit, not much.
Chris Pratt and Aubrey Plaza's characters, they're married, and they get a dog, and it's a three-legged dog that they adopt, and they call him Champion. He doesn't look like the Champion from the show, aside from the fact that he's only got three legs. But I gotta say, have you ever known a three-legged dog?
There was, when I was a little kid, and down the street on the corner, there was a woman who I think had to have been about 186 years old at the time.
Okay.
She was one of those ladies that if you were playing ball in the street, in a wiffle ball, or something went in her yard, that was the end of it. She took it, and you never saw it again.
Oh.
And she had a big old Labrador, black lab, that had three legs. And he was the most awesome dog, and he was real friendly. And she didn't want anybody petting him. And all he wanted was kids to, like, you know, show him a little love and affection. So that is my interaction.
Wait, why wouldn't she let anyone pet him? Did somebody take his leg? Is that why she's upset?
It's a good question, but when you're 6-7 years old, you don't have these type of conversations with a woman who's old, crotchety, angry, and bitter. Maybe someone taunted the dog in the past. I have no clue. I have had a tripod cat that it was a stray, because everything I've ever owned other than the box turtle that we stole from the woods while mushroom hunting has been from somewhere else by way of escaping bad situations. A cat had a mangled foot, and then they lopped off part of it, so she was a three-legged cat, but never a three-legged dog at the house.
That's, I'm curious about the cat. Was it a particularly clumsy cat? Because you watch a three-legged dog walk, and they seriously look like they're going to topple over.
Right.
Because they're like, ooh, they kind of have this lunging thing because they got to do the balance. Now, cats are known for being really nimble and everything and land on their feet. If they have one fewer foot, do they still land on one?
Well, this is gross. Oh, I mean, I'm just going to tell you now, it's kind of horrible. There had to be three or four procedures subsequent to the initial amputation to neaten up the mangled foot. Because she would run around wild and slam that nub into the ground or whatever she was jumping and climbing on and injure it. So then they had to go back, and then they had to re-suture it up. Then they
it wasn't compensating for her.
No. Then they had to cut it off way closer to the shoulder. She seemed as agile as anything else, but I think she blamed us. It wasn't our fault. I don't know what the hell happened, if she got it stuck in something or what. But she always
she's
had that
sitting
look.
There smoking a cigarette going, the asshole's in this house.
It's like Sopranos, or, you know what I mean, where they had the one-legged woman there in the show. She had that same look, like you mess with her, and she will get you for real, because she had that resilience and that attitude of, yeah, I think you did do this to me after all. You know I'm going to get you when you sleep.
Yeah, no, see, I'm not a cat person. Part of it is because I'm horribly allergic to them. That makes you not want to cuddle with them as much. But I do have the sense that the cats do feel that they're superior to humans and resent the fact that they have to wait for us to feed them.
Yep.
And I would be terrified of a three-legged cat because that cat survived.
Yeah. Definitely a survivor. She'd still get birds. She'd still want to go outside, and she'd grab a bird once in a while. So how do you think that bird felt?
Jesus.
You couldn't even get away from a three-legged cat. I mean, seriously, that was a bird who wanted to die. That's what that
is. Well, because here's the thing. When it comes to three-legged dogs, like I said, I've never had one. And I respect the hell out of the three-legged dog, because everyone in the world feels sorry for that dog.
Right.
Except for that dog.
Yeah, they don't know. They just keep going. That's the and I think most animals are that way. Humans could benefit from that mindset of, because they just keep going.
Oh, God, I was watching Grey's Anatomy, and there's a character who had her get her leg amputated, and they had episodes. She's like, oh, I don't have a leg. I'm like, be more like Champion. I look out the door, and there's Champion. He looks happy as hell, man. He's flopping ears, going crazy. He's just, I'm going for a walk. It doesn't matter that I got to work 25% harder. That's what I love about a three-legged dog, because they don't care. They're just happy to be around. Three-legged cat, I'd be a little nervous at that. I think it would be bitter. And it's already mad at everybody. Does that make sense?
No, it makes great sense. And this is where I do have a problem. And this is a dog thing. So I have this little barker dog that we found. It was a stray. And the backstory is unimportant. Again, another one from the street. And get him fixed up and shots and everything after we found that there was no home, no license, no chip, whatever the hell. And get him neutered, because that's what they tell you to do, because you don't want him being like all dominant.
Well, you don't want him dominant. You don't want him roaming and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though he's like 15 pounds. I mean, what is he really going to do? I mean, seriously, because as much.
I don't know. You know, a friend of mine in high school, they had a dog that they got from a litter that was made by I think it was a golden lab, mating through a fence with a miniature poodle.
That is dedication. That is skill. That is pure natural chafing or scraping. You would hate to think it was a rusty fence. You know what I mean? You don't want a rusty fence.
That's the
those
first
areas.
Thing you think. What kind of fence? Was it a wooden fence? Were there exposed nails? You know, or was it a chain link? Yeah, it makes you wonder.
Got to have access points. You know what I mean? There's got to that's pure. That's just love is what that
How
is.
How horny do you have to be? I mean, seriously.
When you have needs. You know what I mean? She was like, let me just get it up there. And he's like, no, I got it. I'm going to work this out.
And here's the other thing. Usually, because this is the dog thing, because we used to have dogs that lived next door to us. And this woman had bought two Bichon Frises. Those are little fluffy white dogs that bark a lot.
Yep.
And she had bought two of these and she was going to breed them. And that never worked out well because their genes were all messed up anyways. And you'd see them doing their thing. But it always seemed that Max caught Irma, and Irma was just like, okay, you got me, just finish. You know, and that's kind of the interaction that seemed to go with him. I want to know how it happened with the fence, because both had to be really into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he could just catch her. Hey, baby, come on over here just for a minute. You gotcha! I mean, it's not one of those things. She had to, like, work to get that air. She had to make herself accessible, let's just say.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those. Can we do it this way? Yeah, we gotta work it this way. The thing is, with a cat, though, they act like they want it when they may not really want it. A dog just sort of goes around and does what dogs do. The guys will show up, like the male dogs, right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing that is amazing to me. But this is where I have guilt. Because every time okay. this dog rolls over for me, hey, rub my belly, scratch my chest, you know, because he's a happy dog. They do that. And I look down and I survey his a little furry chest and belly area, not like in a weird way, but I mean, you notice it.
You're hitting the stem on the apple a couple times.
You're looking. that is tremendous. I'm going to use that. You know that. Stem on the apple. Honey, there's a stem on the apple right here. Sorry, I didn't mean to get there. But I look down and they're gone. And he doesn't know they're gone, or maybe he does.
Oh, his testicles.
Yeah, okay. And I have guilt because I know that I wouldn't want someone taking mine under the guy. Well, it's for your health. You'll be better off with it. I don't imagine that me being sterilized or, you know what I mean?
We don't need you roaming around, so we're taking you to the doctor's office.
That's exactly right. They're like, the stick's got no jewels below. He's better this way.
Why
no.
do I ache so much down there? Oh, it's for your own good.
I feel bad, and I want to like tell him,
well,
dude, I'm really sorry.
Maybe testicles to a dog are like its leg, because like I said, those three-legged dogs, those things, they're the happiest creatures I've ever seen in my life, and they love it. I feel no pity for them, because they're just happy to be there. And I think maybe that's the same thing with dogs when they get neutered. They're just like, oh my God, I went in there and they took something. I can still run around and sniff things and I'm still happy. But what about the dogs that still try to procreate with whatever's available, whether it's a stuffed animal, a blanket, a pillow, or your leg, that don't have any jewels or female? I've had female dogs that suddenly are like, what are you doing? That's not what you're supposed to be doing. And you've had everything taken out.
That's a hormonal imbalance, right? Is that when they start getting like beards when they shouldn't have beards? Hair, it's like a hormonal, like,
wait, are we still talking about dogs?
Menopausal.
They have beards?
Well, I mean, I
menopausal dogs.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Suddenly they look like the female dogs trying to have like act.
They look like
out
Sigmund Freud.
Activity.
Tell me about your mother, bitch.
Oh, that's all kinds of wonderful wrong. That's good. That's good. It's me. I don't think they miss them, but I worked with a guy who had his dog implanted with fake ones. They called them nudicles. There's a whole
I've
industry.
I've heard of this.
What?
So he can lick that? Is it just so they can lick? Yeah, I don't understand that. I understand, like, when a man has testicular cancer, when a man has whatever the say hell
that
they
again.
Call it.
You can't even say it. That's how uncomfortable it makes you. And I understand that testicular what?
Like Tom Green, he had to have his nuts taken out, or one of them at least. But I know that they'll put in like
a prosthetic.
Yeah, you know, I don't like a, but can you choose? Can you say I want the billiard ball size one?
Big ones, smaller ones. You're gonna just, sometimes
so you
can
beat somebody up with it if you need to.
You just throw them up on the table. How you doing? This is what I'm working with. What do you have to say about that?
I mean, I know you don't want it to be concave when you're, you know, because they'll give you hormonal treatment so you can still perform. What dog is sitting there going, oh, nice ball?
No,
so it's like, yeah, I got the operation. You know, it's like women with their breasts. I understand. But why would you ever want to give, like, seriously, do they like go to a dairy cow? If it's just doesn't have a big enough udder, do they put in a silicone implant so it can, hey, man, nice udder? I mean, that's to me as ridiculous as, or is it just for something for the dog to lick?
I think it's for the owner to not have the guilt of removing them more than anything else. Because I know when I see my dog laying there and they're not there and he's like cleaning himself or he wants the belly rub and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry I did that to you. Because I feel bad. I think that's the only reason you put the prosthetic testes in the dog. For a guy, a human, maybe, I don't know. I don't hope to never realize that situation. But that's all for us to feel better. That dog doesn't care. They're just gone. I mean, like you said.
It's not like the dog, or is the dog going, should I have this lump checked out?
Something's a little irregular. They got no thumb. That dew claw doesn't do a damn bit of good trying to check for stuff there.
Except trying to, like, trim that damn thing.
There's that, too, yeah. I used to work with a guy. He had a dog who had a relationship with slippers. And they'd last however long. You go over to the house, be like, you know, you like for football, Sunday or whatever else, have some drinks, hanging out, and the dog would come over, and he'd carry with him his significant other slipper and just hit it hard for like an extended period of time. And
Was it fixed? Was this dog?
I don't know. I never wanted to get too close because he seemed very.
You never rubbed this dog's belly.
No, I did not get close enough. All I know is that you'd show up and they go, oh yeah, we moved to the other slipper. He wore that one out. So I mean. They get dirty, nasty, grungy, like crusty, and then he'd be tired of them and want like a fresh replacement.
He's like, I don't like the nice, sweet, young sorority girl slipper. Give me the tramp. Give me the crack whore. That's who I want. I want the crack whore version of the slipper.
We all
have
our needs.
The one that's been through with the tattoos, and it's got they got like lines on their arms from the heroin needles. And
he had the big bunny slipper where I guess he could grab like the ears. I mean, the bunny
just looks horrified. Buddy is like, help me, just kill me.
I mean, he needed that. He clearly, it was his companion. He'd sleep with the slipper. He'd love the slipper. I mean, it was a deep relationship slipper situation. May that puppy rest in peace, but they went through a lot of slippers, man. So, I think the replacements are only for us, but the slippers is when a dog is in need and they can't find, I guess, some real loving.
All I'll say about this is it just makes me want to buy a human-sized bunny slipper right now.
I think you need to talk to the wife.
You've been listening to The Chubby and Stick Show.
Copyright Kevin Carr and Sterling Radio. Subscribe to and rate The Chubby and Stick Podcast on iTunes.
Like and subscribe to The Chubby and Stick Show on YouTube.
Contact the show and hit up Chubby and Stick on Twitter.
At Kevin Carr and at Sterling Radio. Music by MichaelBard.com. Credits voiced by Joe Jewett. I'm at DeborahBenner.com.
Thanks for listening to The Chubby and Stick Show, and keep keeping it real.